1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember that Paul is ministering to and speaking to a carnal church. Christians who are functioning in the flesh according to man and are not seeking the Spirit of God. They're not looking to the Spirit of God to minister. They're trying to produce out of their own emotional and human energy the power of God. In chapter 1, Paul ministered about the message of the gospel. Is that Paul said that he preached Christ and him crucified. That's the only message he brought. If a person does not respond to the cross of Christ and the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, he was not going to use any human methods or means to try to seduce people to receive Jesus Christ. It's the power of God through the cross. He says, to those who are perishing, that message is foolishness, but to we who are being saved, it is the power of God. Secondly, the method in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The method was, Paul says, we minister spiritual things to spiritual people as the Holy Spirit teaches the spiritual things of Christ. He says, I decided to know nothing. I came with fear and trembling. Here's the human element. He came with fear and trembling to minister to them and to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, totally relying on the Holy Spirit, who is spiritual, to minister the spiritual truths of Christ to spiritual people. If you don't have the Spirit of God with you to understand and receive the spiritual things of Christ, then you won't get ministered to, period. So Paul says, we rely totally on the Spirit. That's the only method he had. He had one message, he had one method. In chapters 3 and 4, we're studying about the messengers. He says the messengers are one. Even though he came into Corinth and planted, and Apollos came after him and taught, he called it watering. It's God who gives the increase, both the one who plants and the one who waters, they are one. Because they are both laborers of the Lord. And he says, first of all, you have to understand, and we're going to finish up with the message today, is that everything is yours. How many times have you ever heard a pastor tell you that? Everything in the world that is of Jesus Christ, every person of the world that is of Jesus Christ, that has a ministry to your heart and life, is yours. You are not limited to a church or a person. Everything that's of Christ is yours. And he gave evidence there in chapter 3, in verse 4, of their carnality. He says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. He says, aren't you carnal and walking according to man? And these men would try to take control over them and say, you can only listen to me and you can only go by what I tell you to do. He says, you're carnal. You see, there's a oneness in the body of Christ, not a separation. He says, here's what you should be paying attention to. And we took it last week. He says, I, as a master architect, I have laid a foundation, and there's no other foundation alongside of the foundation which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. But he says, take heed, and the perimeter verse here, the prime verse of this chapter in verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise architect, I have laid the foundation, and another builds upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds upon it. If you are founded in Jesus Christ, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is your foundation. But take heed how you build upon that foundation, because if it's wood, hay, or stubble, it's going to burn. But if it's the work of Christ, it's going to last. So watch how your Christian walk and life is being developed. If you have received Jesus Christ and you're basing it on man's works, man's programs, church programs, feelings, experiences, or even just going to church in general, it's going to burn. It's depending on the Spirit of God, through the truth of Christ, developing and transforming your life to know and to be conformed to the image of Christ. If that's not happening, just going to church means nothing. Now, there might be a struggle in that. That's not the problem. The point is that we're totally relying on the Spirit of God to take the spiritual things of Christ to minister to your spirit. That's it. That's the only thing that's eternal. of eternal value in our time together. But he says, and we took this last week, verse 13 says, the day is going to declare what kind of work is built on that foundation. It's going to be revealed through fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. This is not hell, folks. This is the Bema Seat of Christ. Every Christian will pass through the fire, and that which is not of Christ is going to burn, and whatever you have left over, that's your reward. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. A Christian will suffer loss. You're not going to lose your salvation. But all the fleshy, emotional things that you based your walk on the Lord with, that's all going to burn. It's not the Spirit of God. Only the change and transformed life which has been done by the Holy Spirit through the truth of His Word, that's the only thing that's going to last. Everything else is going to burn. And whatever's left over after passing through the fire, that's our reward. That's who we're going to be throughout eternity. We're going to pick up at verse 16 and go to the end. First of all, verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? The message of the New Testament, over and over again, is a person is a Christian who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. It has nothing to do with their beliefs, their doctrines. It has to do with the presence of the Spirit of Christ living in their heart. I've seen people that in their minds, their understanding of God and things of the Lord are so messed up, but they have the Spirit of Christ in their heart. He'll straighten that out someday. It's not what you got straightened out up here in your mind, it's who you have in your heart. If you have Jesus in your heart, over a period of time, things are going to get straightened out. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, at verse 9, he says, if a person does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. John, in 1 John chapter 3, the last verse, and says, by this we know that we dwell in Him and Him in us by the Spirit that He's given to us. He repeated it again in 1 John chapter 4. That was the theme of the early church. It's not that you're a church member. It's not that you even believe in God. Even James, in James chapter 2, says, you say you believe in the one God. Well, you do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. Do you know that Satan believes in Jesus Christ? He knows who Jesus is, and he believes in the truth in Christ. Doesn't save him, just makes him mad. Makes him rebellious. Satan's belief does not save him. Only Jesus saves. Only His Spirit coming into your heart is what saves you. And His presence in your spirit and your heart is what makes you a believer. Now, all the rest of you can be corrupt, but the presence of the Spirit of Christ in you makes you a believer. Let me say this as a side note, in case you're disappointed. I've mentioned it now twice this past week in our meetings because this is very important. Romans chapter 7, Paul says that in his flesh is no good thing. In his flesh is no good thing. And that he saw that there were two laws warring in his life. With his mind, he was serving the law of God, and with his flesh, the law of sin, because the law of sin was in his flesh. And the law of the life of the Spirit of Christ was in his heart. So he's got two things struggling with here. In fact, if you're struggling as a believer, that shows that you belong to Christ. If you didn't have the Spirit of Christ in your heart, you wouldn't be struggling. There's something spiritual going on inside of you. At the same time, the flesh is just wigging out. But it is not your performance as a person that makes you a Christian. It's the presence of the Spirit of God that dwells in you. And it is His Spirit that's holy. We're going to get to that in a moment. Did you know that you're holy? You may not feel holy, but you are. But there's a different kind of holiness. The Greek word hosios means holy in the sense of pure. And that word is only applied to God, not to man. There's another word for holy. That's the word hagios. It's also translated saint in the Bible. But it's literally translated separated. When the Holy Spirit, that's hagios, when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, you are separated for the Lord. You belong to Him. Now what makes you separated and belong to Christ is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You might not think you belong to the Lord, but you do. The Holy Spirit has separated you for the Lord and His purposes. That's why the struggle. Flesh doesn't like that. Flesh wants the things of the world. Flesh wants the old life. But your spirit and your soul has been separated for Christ. So take heed how you build. Take heed what you consider to be important and what the priorities are. What's important is not your flesh. The importance is your spirit, your soul. Make sure your soul gets fed. Make sure the Spirit of God is changing you and transforming you by the hearing of the Word of God. You might have to find a place where it's boring. That's a flesh term, do you know that? I've had people say to me, I got to go find a church that has more zip to it because church is too boring when we just study the Scriptures. Well, boring's a flesh term. That's not a spiritual term at all. The flesh is bored. I have a theological term for that. Baloney. That's my theological term for that. So your flesh is bored. That's because the spiritual things of the Lord and His Word don't have anything for your flesh, so it's bored. But your spirit is getting ministered to. That's all that counts. And so people make options. They say, I'd rather go to a church that entertains my flesh and makes it feel better. Yeah, but your spirit's not getting ministered to. Yeah, but when I leave church, woo, what a time we had. Really. I'll give you a call at 3 o'clock this afternoon. You'd probably be dragging on the floor because all that's going to wear off. And sometime during the week, you're going to go look for another shot somewhere in church or somewhere else. It doesn't last. It's emotional. It's feelings. It has to do with the flesh. My encouragement to you, that's the greatest compliment you can give to me. Find a church where you're bored. But where the Spirit of God is ministering to your spirit. And little by little, you're being changed and transformed by God's Spirit and hearing the Word of God. No matter what your struggle is, no matter how hard it is, all God asks you to do is go. His Spirit will take care of the rest. His Spirit is faithful. His Word will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which He sent it. We have to trust Him for that. We're just talking about learning Greek. Some people learn it quickly. Some people learn it slowly. People learn it in different ways. We have to trust that the Lord is sending out His Word, accomplishing His purpose and His way for His reason. We trust Him for that. It is not our ability to learn, and it's not our ability to receive what God says in its Word. It's up to God's Spirit to minister to our hearts. We're totally reliant on Him. Without Him, we cannot do one thing. He says in the text, verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. There's our word hagios. Not temple as far as purity, but temple as far as separated for God's purposes. Now, I'm not putting down purity. I'm just telling you, God's the only thing that's pure. And the only thing holy about me, I don't know, maybe you're better off than I am. The only thing holy about me is the Holy Spirit. There's no good in me. Brother Guillermo Moore always keeps me humble. And when you realize that, you're at the top. You're at the height of spirituality when you realize the only thing holy about you, the only thing godly about you, is God Himself. So when you realize that, you're totally relying on Him. I can't even think straight. I have to go by His Word and by His Spirit. Because my thinking is corrupted by sin. The sermon's going to be short, I can tell you that. So we are holy. Hold your place and turn to the right to chapter 6, please. Verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. This has to do with sexual immorality. But at the end of the message, chapter 6, verse 19, he says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were purchased with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Do you know that you were purchased? Not only did Jesus die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins so you could be saved, but He purchased you at the cross. He paid for you with His life and paid for me. That's why the Holy Spirit comes to reside within. God's taken possession. I don't want to see any hands, but have you ever had anything repossessed? Have you ever been evicted from a house? Somebody comes up, sheriff comes up or whatever, and they hand you a notice and say, you're out, we're taken over. That's what the Lord does. Well, that's what happens when you're saved, is God sends His Spirit to live inside of you and say, I'm taking possession. You've heard of demon possession, haven't you? Do you know what our problem is? Do you know why we struggle so much? Because we're possessed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm Holy Spirit possessed. And it drives me nuts. It drives my flesh nuts. He possesses me. He owns me. And my flesh doesn't like that. So I struggle. And God says, that's fine. You can struggle all you want to. His Spirit's got a hold of me. I'm not going anywhere. Nothing can take me out of His hands. Nothing can take me away from Christ. In fact, my struggles are a sign of my salvation being worked out in me and through me. The more we struggle, the more we're being changed. It's just the way it is. We have been purchased. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Back to chapter 3. So take heed how your walk with the Lord is being developed. If it's based on man's emotion, man's programs, man's method, it'll burn. But if it's based on the finished work of Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit through the truth of His Word, it'll be eternal. Secondly, verses 18 to 20, let no one deceive himself. If there is someone amongst you that presumes himself to be wise in this age, the word age is ionos, which means the epoch of time in which we live. And we got a lot of wise people in the body of Christ. In fact, I know of years past when churches looked for corporate executives to be saved so that they could bring their corporate experience into the church and we can have programs and come up with ideas about how to do God's work. And we see that today. Some of the leftovers, some of them are still around. Some of them have big organizations about how to incorporate the world's ways and the world's means to do God's work for them. If anyone presumes to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he might become wise. Do you realize the most spiritual I could be is to arrive at a point of my realization that from a world standpoint I'm a fool, and I am a fool. Have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, you are a fool to give up the only life you have to serve Christ? You know what you could be doing with yourself? Do you know how much money you could be making? Do you know what you could be doing and you could be enjoying? And yet you limit yourself and you commit yourself and you dedicate yourself to make going to Bible study your top priority? I mean, just go to church on Sunday. You know, go to church, stop in for an hour. Can't go to Sisquak and do that because it's longer than an hour. But just stop into church on Sunday morning, you know. Confess your sins and be on your way. Do your thing. I mean, you know, don't be a fanatic. Don't live for Jesus 24 hours a day. It's the only life you have. What a waste. Don't be a fool. Paul chose to be a fool. For Christ's sake. If I'm a fool, so be it. But I need to realize that I need to take what is the foolish way according to the world in order to be wise. That's a smart thing to do. Take the low road. He says in verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, from Job chapter 5, God is the one who is catching the wise in their own craftiness, which you reap you sow. You want to tell me about the wisdom of this world? You know, it's the first thing I thought of. And I'm thinking from a spiritual standpoint, not from a worldly standpoint. When the Enron company went bankrupt, I thought to myself, You know, they were interviewing people on TV. One man had $2 million that he lost. That was his retirement. $2 million in that company. When the Enron company went under, the first thing I thought of was the wisdom of this world. It's like playing a roulette wheel. And even if you make it, you lose. Even if you make it as a success with all this money and all the things that you spent your whole life acquiring, whether you did it deceitfully or honestly or worked hard or somebody just handed it to you as a gift, whatever it is, you're going to leave it behind. It's of no spiritual value. The Lord catches the wise in their own craftiness. Secondly, verse 20 from Psalm 94. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts, literally the dialogues of the wise, that they are futile. The Lord sees those who are wise according to the world, and He sees their dialogue, their thought processes going on, and the Lord just says, that's not going to do you any good. It's empty. Thirdly, verses 21 to 23, here's your encouragement. Therefore, let no one boast in man. We're not to rely on the wisdom of man as far as working this world system or people's ideas or human abilities. It's totally dependent upon the Spirit of God moving in a way for Him to accomplish His will in His way according to His Word. Period. The greatest act of spirituality we can do is just be in submission to what God wants. We've been studying Jonah on Sunday mornings. What a blessing Jonah is. God will always fulfill His will. Always. You cannot stop His word or His will from being fulfilled. But you can dictate how God is going to deal with you to conform you to that word and that will. God said, go to Nineveh, 500 miles this way. He chooses Tarshish, 2,000 miles this way, just to get away from God. God creates a storm. God didn't create a fish, by the way. He appointed a fish to go swallow Jonah. And Jonah's in the belly of the great fish crying out to God. He says, this is like calling out to God from the grave. He called out to God from his afflictions. God's so faithful, He'll bring so many trials and tribulations in your life to bring you back to the Lord. That's how faithful He is. It's His faithfulness. The text says, let no one boast in man. God help us. We've got enough of the humanness with me and with you in the church. There's enough humanness there naturally without us promoting it and saying, let's get our heads together and do God's work for Him. Oh boy. How foolish that is. Maybe not from a world standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, to take people whose minds have been corrupted by the world and wounded by sin and affected by sin, and there's the law of sin in our flesh, and you think God wants to get us together and put our heads together and to figure out how to do His work for Him? No. Let no one boast in man, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or coming things, all things are yours, and you are of Christ and Christ is of God. If you belong to Jesus Christ, God can minister to you through Paul, Apollos, Cephas, anybody He wants to. It has nothing to do with a person. There might be certain people that God would use to minister in certain phases. But you do not belong. You do not belong to a church. You belong to the church. You belong to the shepherd, Jesus Christ. We're only under shepherds. We're only assistants. I was amazed as I went down to Santa Barbara, the hospital, to get every time I go in there to get tested or get checked, there's always a different doctor and a different nurse. They're all doing the same thing. You know? different personalities, different ways of doing things. Oh my. The worst guy was the guy who took out my staples. This guy acted like he just walked off the street or something. He didn't act like a doctor at all. Maybe he wasn't. He's taking his little tweezers and pulling those little clips and just tossing them over on the side. And yeah, well, you can do it just about. This is like, what, 5 days after surgery. I says, okay, what can I do and not do? Hey, do whatever you feel like doing. Really? So last time I went and I told the nurse what the doctor had told me. She goes, oh, he told you that, huh? I'm sure glad you didn't take him up on it. You're not supposed to do anything for 6 weeks. I said, what, you know. So it's like you get different doctors, different nurses, and different approaches to this thing. I just want one, you know. Once you feel comfortable with one guy, it's like, who's the guy that did the surgery? Just let me deal with him, you know, because he seems to know what he's doing. Why bring in people that, you know, everybody else is busy? Yeah, go look at him. I don't want that kind of care. But, you know, it's all the same thing. Different phases, different people, all performing the same function. Different personalities, different way of doing things, but God uses it all. Folks, everything is yours. That's how blessed you are in the Lord. You are not limited to this church, to this ministry. Anything that the Lord wants to use in this world to minister to you, even life and death itself, God will do that to bless you. The warning is, take heed how your life is being built upon that foundation. Whether it's wood, hay, and stubble, human experience, human teaching, man-made stuff, or whether it's the Spirit of God through His Word. That's the encouragement to you. Next week, we will begin chapter 4. We're getting into some tremendous chapters. These are already tremendous things, but we're going to continue this theme on Paul's ministry about the messengers. Even though they're individual, they're one. Function together in Christ. It's all of the Lord. We're just vessels. The unity in the body of Christ. We take great efforts to divide ourselves up when the Lord already has us as one. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your love and your patience and your concern and care over us and your provision for our every need. Lord, help us to see that you understand our struggle with the flesh more than we understand it. And you receive us with understanding and patience more than we receive ourselves. Help us to see it is your gift and it is your love to send your Spirit to live in our hearts. Because we are trapped in this body of flesh that is governed by the law of sin, and there is no good thing in it. It does not desire the spiritual things of the Lord. It does not want to be obedient, and neither can it be, according to the Scriptures. But it is your faithfulness and your love in that you have sent your Spirit to live in our hearts, not only to anchor us in Christ so that we're not carried away by the things of the flesh, but to change us and transform us. And in the midst of the struggle, the change is taking place so that one day these physical bodies drop off and our spirit goes to be with Christ as the finished product, completed project. We will be delivered from this body of death. In the meantime, Lord, we ask for understanding, for wisdom, to understand this growth process, and to take heed how our walk with the Lord is being developed. Whether we're relying on man-made methods and formulas and personal revelations and all the things that have to do with the mystic of man, or whether we're dependent on the Spirit of God through the truth of His Word to change us and transform us for eternity. Help us to understand the importance of these things and the priority of these things. And help us also to realize that we are responsible for what influences our life, even at church. What we hear, what we do, and in the world, the things that we do that would influence our flesh and our spirit. Lord, without you we cannot do one thing. So we ask for the power and the ministry of your Spirit to transform us and change us and empower us even from this time today, and continue to work in us and through us as we continue our pilgrimage in this earthly life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.